This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It seems like at every major intersection right now, there are black birds everywhere at dusk. They're loud, and for some reason, they love HEBs. So what exactly is going on? Are the birds taking over? Rice Professor Sinti Lee joins me to answer all of our black bird questions. It's Monday, November 27th, 2023. I'm Rahil Ramzanali, and here's what Houston's talking about. Sinti, welcome back to CityCast Houston. I'm so pumped to talk to you for the first time. How are you?
Doing very well, Rahil. Thanks for having me back.
All right. Let me jump right into it, okay? What are all these black birds everywhere right now? I mean, I see them at every intersection. They are loud. What are these birds?
Well, there are birds that are black colored or black plumage. And we actually have terms to describe blackbirds, but the ones that you're probably seeing are these grackles, and they're big numbers roosting often around the grocery stores, particularly HEBs. In the winter, they like to congregate. So they also congregate at other times of the year, but they like to roost in the trees in the night for protection.
They're roosting. What does that mean?
Oh, roosting. Roosting is a term, I guess, to describe when birds are resting and sleeping. So if they go to the roost, they're going home into their tree or wherever their perch is. Yeah.
So these grackles, they really come out in numbers. And as you mentioned, for whatever reason, they pick a lot of HEBs, Kroger's. I remember there was a really viral video a couple of years back where people were just trying to walk through the parking lot and these grackles are everywhere. But why do they pick these grocery stores? Are they just trying to save money as well, like all of us?
Well, these grackles, what they feed on is seeds, even trash. So wherever they can get easy pickings, they're going to hang out. So if you have leftovers, if you have trash cans nearby, or people are throwing crumbs out, that's where they're going to be. And that's like where most people want to be, where it's easy to get food. And they'll come to those places, and parking lots, grocery stores are great places. And then if there are areas nearby where they can hide, like thick trees, or they can congregate in numbers for safety, like power lines, then you put the two together. Close proximity to food and great roosting spots where a lot of them can get together, then you had the perfect recipe for, I don't know what you call it, Armageddon or...
Yeah, Birdmageddon.
Birdmageddon.
So that was my next question, is why electric lines? Because that is one of the things I've noticed, is if they're not in the HEB parking lot, then they are just taking up every inch possible on electric lines. Why is that? Because that seems like it's way in the open, right? Like that would put them in danger almost to predators.
Yeah, that's a good question. So sometimes birds will prefer to hide in the dense foliage of the trees, hide away from predators. But there's also sort of a funny thing of safety in numbers. If you all get together in the thousands, the odds of you being picked off compared to the 10,000 around you are slim. So you feel safer. And so there is a sort of primordial drive for these birds to get closer together. And that's why they flock. But I bet if you've seen them all flock together, especially on these power lines, you'll notice that they get really close, but not too close, right? There's usually, you can put one or two birds in between them. So they all have their personal space as well. And you can see one bird fly in and land in between two, and it'll push them apart a little bit. But to answer your question of why power lines, I think they're really just searching for places where they can all perch. A whole bunch of birds can perch. And of course, power line's a great place. trees are also a good place, but in parking lots, you don't have as many trees. So the power lines take the place of trees.
Now, why is it that they come out during this time, right? Like it usually starts about early fall and goes through the winter.
Well, there's two things. So the many birds, most birds are actually diurnal. They feed during the day and then they go to sleep in the night. So they like, in this case, they'll come together to sleep for safety. And then in the day they'll disperse. They may go, it may not be just the HEB that they're hanging out. They go and visit other HEBs or other places. So they'll disperse. In fact, they have a good sense of smell. It was at Rice, for example, I have a small bird feeder with bird seed. And one day in the parking lot, I accidentally spilled the seed. I think, oh my God. And within 5 minutes, grackles descended upon that. They could smell it and they came and they cleaned it all up before I had a chance to clean up the nest. So
oh my God.
They can smell food, they can smell trash, and they will roam. But then they will come back together to their flock and hang out.
Now, are they migrating through this area or are they here year-round?
Well, they're here year-round. And grackles, I don't know how much they migrate. They certainly may make local movements where in the summer they disperse where they have their territories and their babies. And there they don't do it as a flock. They're just paired up. So they disperse throughout the city. But once they've finished having young, they don't need to maintain those territories. And then they start to come back together. And that's part of the reason why you start to see the bigger flocks in late summer and especially in fall. There are other black birds, like the blackbirds, red-winged blackbirds, starlings, they're also black. In the winter, their numbers increase from birds from the north that come down. So you can get huge flocks. Those are quite a sight to see because when they go, they almost look like they're flying in unison. We call them murmurations, a murmuration of starlings.
So that's why at night, as you mentioned, there's safety in numbers. So they find these areas, they are going to call it a night. They want to be together and they're going to rest together. And that's why we see so many really congregating together there at the end of the day.
That's right. And if you want to remove them or make sure there's not so many harassing all your customers in the parking lot, I think the best way is to make sure that you have no trash or leftovers out there. They'll pick up anything. So reduce that. The other one is to reduce the number of perching spots. You can't remove the power lines, but in the trees, you may have to trim out some of the interior parts of the trees. So there's less places to perch, I guess.
And a lot of stores are starting to put more of those plastic spikes up on the perimeter of the building. So that just negates that area that they can sit on, right?
Yeah, that's true. I think it works. There is a colleague of mine, Scott Egan at Rice, though, did an interesting study in the med center. The grackles were roosting in the trees, and the folks there didn't like that because they were pooping on people. So what they did is they put some deterrents. They put nets all around the trees so they couldn't roost in there. And then what happened is no birds could get in there. And so the bugs that live in the trees have a field day. They have no predators. And so they saw an explosion of those asps, those poisonous moth caterpillars that if you touch them, you get stung with those urticating hairs. And some people react really strongly to those asps. So they had asps dropping out of the trees. So you don't really want to you want to keep the numbers down, but you don't want to get rid of them completely. There's some balance in nature, even in urban environments.
So there is some benefit to all these grackles that we see because they are really aggressive. They are very loud. But if we just try to remove them all, then that's going to cause an issue in that environment and that circle.
I think so. They are cleaning up our trash, but they're not just eating the trash. They are eating insects, and you will see the impacts if you try to eradicate them. And in the process of trying to eradicate them, you know, very likely you'll eradicate other bird species that you hadn't thought about. And so then there's a cascade of effects. So it's more about mitigating the situation than getting rid of them. And they're aggressive in the sense that they like to find, they're very good at finding food, and they'll descend on the area to eat in big numbers. But individually, I don't think of them as really aggressive birds. I don't think I've ever been attacked by a grackle.
Oh, then you need to come out to my HEB, sir, because my 7-year-old daughter, she was 7 at the time, she's 8 now, we were walking back from HEB to our car, and it was a fall night, and there were grackles everywhere, yeah. Right? And they are loud, they are aggressive, and we had to sprint to our car, and they were not afraid of us. I mean, they were coming right up to us, and she had to take cover. It was one of the funniest moments of her life for me. And, you know, they didn't bite her or anything, yeah, but they could get pretty aggressive.
Yeah, they will come. I mean, if you have a French fry in your hand, maybe they'll come and get that. That's for sure. Yeah. I don't know if that's aggressive or bold.
Houston's original neighborhood downtown is for everyone, and it's poppin'. It's our open-hearted home for our biggest celebrations and our treasured hidden gems. From the world-class theater district to incredible green spaces like Discovery Green, downtown is the place to be. In fact, more people visited downtown Houston last year than the entire population of Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, and San Antonio combined. There's no better time to live downtown than now. From starter apartments to luxury lofts, everyone can take advantage of the arts, business, culture, entertainment, food, and recreation. Now, you might think of downtown as only the heartbeat of Houston's regional economy, which it is, but there's so much more to it, including free events throughout the week with Downtown Houston Plus. From the Market Square Park Farmers Market every Saturday to Yoga Flow every Wednesday, you can find something to do and eat and watch in downtown Houston. Learn more at downtownhouston.org. Downtown Houston, get energized and revived.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
So do these grackles pose any kind of issues with sanitation? Because you do see bird poop all over when they congregate at these HEBs, Kroger's, or other big parking lots, right? Is there a sanitation issue here?
Well, you know, of course, it might be unsightly to your premises if you have a lot of bird poop everywhere, but I don't think it's necessarily a health hazard. The birds occasionally do have West Nile virus, and of course, when birds flock together, that helps transmit it. But I don't think it's a big deal. If anything, they may even be helping cleaning up the environment. But I get it. You don't want 10,000. Hanging out over your cars in the parking lot and then waking up and having to clean it off your car.
Yeah. Is there even a number you can guesstimate on how many grackles are in the Houston area?
Oh, wow. No, I haven't actually thought about how many. That would be an interesting project, trying to figure out how many are there. I'll get back to you on it, but I wouldn't be surprised if you had hundreds of thousands just in Harris County.
Wow. Hey, I want to ask you about the new thing with the American Ornithological Society. They have vowed to change the English names of all bird species that are named after people, right? Yeah. Along with other bird names deemed offensive or that could be exclusionary. Why are they doing this? What's up with that?
Well, this is in the social media circles, I think their opinions on opposite sides and very extreme. And so one has to be a little careful of getting into it. But I think the motivation initially, of course, was that, you know, some birds are named after people that weren't all that great by any standard. They were, you know, they held slaves, or they scalped people's heads, or they traded in human parts, which back at the time, the scientists or gentlemen scientists actually would do things like that. Some were involved in the directly or indirectly with the extermination of Native Americans. And so those cases are clear, just really bad people, right? So I think the committee, they did it with a lot of care. They spent a lot of time thinking. I read their whole discussions, and they decided that it was much better just to get rid of all honorific names for that very reason, that you couldn't really be the judge. Who's to judge, especially someone who's in between, right? That you are a good person or a bad person.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, that goes beyond the headlines. So this makes a lot more sense. Now, with the renaming, what's the most famous bird that will be renamed?
Well, there's a lot. And I'm trying to think of, there's even Audubon's Oriole, with I'm sure it has to be renamed. It's probably not a famous bird because it only occurs here in Texas, South Texas. It's a beautiful bird, but named after John James Audubon. And of course, you know, Audubon had some dark sides himself. He was a slave owner. I mean, a lot of people at that time who were of means were slave owners, but by today's standards, that's obviously not right. But even if Audubon was a cool guy and great guy, I and myself in support of removing the name. And one example is Wilson's Warbler, another beautiful bird, yellow warbler with a black cap. And Wilson, as far as we know, was a good character and died very poor. He did everything for the birds and educating people. And so, and I get it, you know, it is great to honor good people, but because of this issue of, you know, how do you decide, right? What if in the future someone figures out he did something wrong, or it just makes it tough. I mean, I'll add one thing, you know, it is a funny thing. The people in the social media circles or in the news, it's kind of become polarized. Those who support it are called wokists, and then those who don't support it are automatically labeled racist. And I think that's not the way it is. It's somewhere in the middle, and you can't look at those extremes. And I'll give an example. So I was born in Taiwan. And if you go to Asia, you find all these bird names that are named after British guys or German guys. And you go, well, that's sort of weird. Why are all the birds in Asia and in India all named after these guys in Europe? Doesn't make sense. Then you would say, well, why don't we name it out after some Asian guy or Asian woman? Even that I would disagree with, because people moved around. Nobody owns the bird. Nobody in history ever owned the bird. We should not honor people in that way, I guess. The birds aren't there to be owned. And that's what I fundamentally believe. But, you know, I may be in the minority. I also believe we shouldn't be naming mountains after people, or asteroids after people, or even great scientists.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And we'll see how these birds are renamed. Yeah. And maybe we rename the grackle the HEB, right? Yeah, I don't know.
HEB bird, yes.
HEB bird might be better. Cinti, thank you so much for taking time and for answering this age-old question that's always bugged me. What are all these blackbirds? So I really appreciate you joining us here.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it. Very fun.
That was Rice Professor Cinti Lee. You can learn more about grackles in the links below. Do you have other questions about wildlife in our city? Send it to us via the info in our show notes so we can answer them in a future episode. That will do it for today. Thank you for listening, and I hope you learned something new.